This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Rays Radio Network.
Slice down the left field line. It's a fair ball. The Rays win it, and they have just clinched the number one spot. They have won the American League wild card.
Welcome to Countdown to Opening Day.
Swinging a ball, sliced toward right, back Hernandez onto the track, looking up, and it's gone! An opposite field homer! Yandy Diaz flexes his muscles, and the Rays win again in walk-off fashion.
Coming up, we sit down with Rays players, coaches, and front office executives to discuss the latest news in Rays baseball. Here's your host, Chris Adams-Wall.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest show. My name is Chris Adams-Wall. Jason Behringer is back at our network studios, and we're happy to have you with us. In today's show, we'll speak to Rays right fielder Josh Lowe, who we learned on Thursday was going to be out for about 10 to 15 days with left hip inflammation. Before the injury, however, Josh spoke to us about his breakout 2023 campaign, what it's like having an older brother who just won the World Series, and an update on his mother, Wendy, in her heroic battle against brain cancer. Then we'll sit down with Rays third base coach Brady Williams, who reflects on his first big league season and on the life and impact of his late father, Jimmy, who passed away in late January. But without further ado, let's hear from Josh Lowe, whom I asked just prior to his injury how he's feeling entering spring training.
Good, you know, just being able to get out on the field with the guys again, you know, just chopping it up with them, seeing everybody's face, smiling, laughing, having a good time. It's always fun to start spring training, like I said, see everybody and have fun. So it's been good so far, and I'm ready to keep this thing rolling.
Let's go back to your 2023 season. I was looking at your numbers recently, and I had forgotten that you hit .292. And obviously, that's just batting average now. Who knows what that really means anymore? But your numbers were really, really impressive last season. And I'm curious, were you surprised at all with how successful your 2023 season was?
No, I don't think I was surprised. I try and work really hard, whether it's in the season or in the off season. And I felt like I developed a good plan over the course of the year approach, and also with, you know, Motor, Brady, and last year Dan, you know, all the guys and what we were trying to accomplish on the hitting side. And I feel like I stuck to that approach for the most part and stayed pretty consistent with doing that and not trying to get outside of myself. And the results showed there on the field. So it was just a testament to the hard work that we put in and staying consistent with our plan.
But you can admit that you really took off last season.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I felt I took a really good step forward and what I want to do in my career and the things that I would like to accomplish, as well as winning a lot of ball games. You know, the on-field stuff is cool, the personal accolades, all those things are cool, but at the end of the day, we all just want to win championships, and you know, I think the more we can be successful, the more we're gonna get closer to that end goal of winning a World Series.
How much more comfortable are you now entering spring training than, say, your first big league camp a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just having the same conversation with someone. I don't remember who I was talking with it about the other day, but I feel extremely comfortable now just being around the guys and spending a full season together with everybody, you know, developing relationships with players and staff and different personnel. Compared to the first time I even got called up for a big league game, you know, you're so nervous and you have no clue what you're in for. And that's just spring training. That wasn't even my debut, you know. So the first time being over here, I know how nerve-wracking that is. And, you know, I try and be one of the people that is open and accessible for the younger guys that come over and help them understand, you know, it's just a game. It's the same thing you've been doing. It's just there's more people watching, more lights, just a little faster pace.
I talked to Curtis Meade about this also, and he admitted to being pretty nervous when he got the call up last season. And kind of going through that, I think he had an 0 for 15 stretch. And, you know, you start pressing and you're thinking, I'm talented, but here I am at the big league level and I'm not performing. How did you get over those nerves initially? And are you completely over them now?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes a little bit. You know, it takes a little bit under your belt to finally get those nerves to calm down. But like I said, one of the biggest things is just getting comfortable with the people around you, your teammates, your staff, and all of that. Am I completely over the nerves? I don't think so. You know, I'd like to say, yeah, of course, you know, it's just a game now and you're just playing baseball. But, you know, there's something about taking the field for the first time for the season or, you know, going out there for the first time in front of a lot of fans in the beginning of the year. That gets your heart rate going, you know. That's why we play the game, is for the excitement of it, for, you know, to go out there and compete. So I would love to say I'm over those nerves, but yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of the sport, you know. If you're not getting excited like that, then I think something might be wrong with you. You might need to check your heart rate.
Now, the core essentially is back for this team. You guys lost a few players in the offseason, as most clubs do, but the team that won 99 games, the vast majority of that squad has returned for 2024. So you must be excited about going into the 2024 season, yeah?
I am. Like you said, the core of players is back for this season. And I think we're all excited about that. And as well as to the additions from the younger guys that we have that'll be contributing this year, you know? I think as an organization, we definitely pride ourselves over the years of having a good farm system. And it's always fun when you see those guys get to the big leagues and they get their feet wet and they come back that next offseason, they make jumps and they make strides and they show they're ready to compete at the major league level. And I think we have quite a few guys this year that are going to make that jump. And I'm excited for them. I'm excited to hopefully be someone they can lean on and talk to and get them more comfortable and get the best out of them on the field.
I'd say that you definitely made the jump last season. What were the adjustments that you made either before last season or during the season that really helped you along the way?
I think one of the biggest things was just, you know, being on time, if not a little early for the fastball was the biggest thing. Getting on someone's heater and not waiting around for them to give me a good pitch, because, you know, sometimes you barely get one good pitch to hit in a game. That's just kind of how the game goes. But really being the aggressor when it comes down to it, instead of, you know, being passive, I found out that being a little more aggressive definitely is my style of hitting, but also being selective when being aggressive. So there's a fine line that you tiptoe there when it comes to that. And I think just really sticking to the drills and the different mindsets that we came up with all season long and just being consistent, that was something that helped me stay even keeled along the way and not get too high, not get too low, and just kind of ride everything out and just stay on that wave.
That was pretty unbelievable what we just saw. There was a hawk carrying a fish flying by as I interviewed you. That was really neat. That was something. Obviously, that hawk's gone to another level there getting that fish. I'm curious, Josh Lowe, do you think you can take your game to another level? Because a lot of people would say the level you played at last season was outstanding.
Yeah, of course. I think we all set personal goals to be the best player we can be every single year, you know. And there's no reason that I can't be one of those top players in this league. That's just the confidence that I have in myself, as I think every other player that steps in this field does, you know. What's the point of taking the field thinking we're going to be a subpar player? We're all going to think that we're the best player out there, and that's the mindset that you need to have, but also just as well be humble with that. So yeah, I think I can take my game to another level, and that's without putting too much pressure on myself. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to be one of the core players for this team for as long as I'm fortunate enough to put on a jersey and help us win as many games and championships as we can. So that's my goal every single day, taking the field.
And MLB Network ranked you in the top 10 for right fielders in Major League Baseball. I know a lot of you guys say, we don't really look at that stuff. Who cares? We ignore it. But if you didn't see it, which I think you did, that probably felt pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool and all, but, you know, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. Still got to go out and compete. Just because you're ranked something doesn't mean that it's set in stone that, you know, that's who you are. You got to go out and you got to put in the work. You got to go and execute the plan.
And we know last season was tough for you also. The Rays won 99 games. You had a stellar season, but your mom has dealt with some health issues. And I'm just curious, how is your mom now, Wendy? And how is the family holding up at this point?
Yeah, I think the family's holding up pretty good, as well as her. She's doing good. Taking it day by day, scan to scan, looking at the tumor that's in her brain, and we're all dealing with that. She's starting some new medications that we're very hopeful about, as well as the doctors are. And, you know, I think this is all in God's hands, and she's going to be very well taken care of. I know she has all of our family support, as well as the different fans and people that have reached out to me or just said something in passing by asking about her. So she has a huge support system, and you know, she's one of the strongest people I know, so she's going to be well taken care of.
And both of her sons have given her a reason to smile, if not multiple reasons, right? We'll get to Nathaniel winning the World Series there, but you got engaged this offseason. So how excited are you for that, and how did you propose? Was it a dramatic thing, big location? What happened?
Yeah, it was one of the best days of my life. Anna and I knew she was the one for me, you know. She was out of town, and she came back home, and I had our home all decorated really nice. And, you know, as soon as she opened the door, saw the candles and the flowers leading to outside, you know, she's like, is this happening? You know, and she knew exactly what was going on, and I had to pick up our puppy because I didn't want her eating all the rose petals that were on the ground. And I proposed, and like I said, that was one of the happiest moments of my life so far. January 2025 is the date that we have.
I don't even have to ask.
Yeah, January 11th, 2025 is the date that we have picked out right now. So we're both looking forward to that, and I just know we're gonna have so much fun that night. So can't wait to celebrate that with all of our friends and family. And yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, maybe there will be a couple of World Series rings at that wedding. You never know. On that note, last question before I get you out of here. Just how excited were you for your brother Nathaniel? And I had both you guys with the Montgomery Biscuits. Nathaniel was there, going by Nate, obviously, in 2018, and you in 2019. Huge deal for him, though. Huge deal, obviously, for the entire Texas Rangers organization. But as your older brother, I mean, how thrilled were you, are you, for Nathaniel?
Yeah, I mean, on a brother level, very excited for him. You know, as a competitor, it sucks. You know, because they beat us in the first round. But as the younger brother, it's what you dream about, playing in the backyard, you know, hitting balls together, playing catch. You know, here's the last out of the World Series, like, oh, two outs, bottom of the ninth. You know, you got to hit a home run to win right here. Just things that you dream about. You know, it didn't really hit me until there was two outs in the ninth inning. I'm sitting there on the couch and Spores threw that curveball in there for strike three. And I said, man, my brother's a World Series champion. Like, that's really cool, you know. And then we were able to go to the first two games in Texas. So seeing those two games in person, they were special. That's for sure. They were special, especially watching game one, the walk-off and all the heroics surrounded by that game. That was incredible. So I just can't wait until we get there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Looks like your brother had a pretty good time at the parade, too, yeah?
Yes, he had a very good time, as shown when his shirt was nowhere to be found and his newborn German Shepherd puppy was being shown off. Poor Mondo had no clue what was going on. Everybody was there for him, apparently. But, yeah, no, that was pretty cool.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time, Josh Lowe, and we'll be thinking about your mom throughout this entire season. Best of luck to her. Best of luck to you. And thanks so much for joining us on Countdown Opening Day.
Yeah, thank you.
And we thank Josh Lowe for his heartfelt responses and encourage you to keep his mother, Wendy, in your thoughts and prayers. We are going to go to our first break, though, but don't go anywhere because we're coming right back with Rays third base coach Brady Williams right after this on the Rays Radio Network.
And we continue on Countdown to Opening Day with Rays third base coach Brady Williams. Brady, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate being on.
So this is your second season with the Rays. I'm curious, how did the first season go? We talked to you during the middle of the season, and I know Neil talked to you at the beginning of the season, but How was 2023 for Brady Williams overall?
I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better start, right? I mean, a lot of highs and a lot of lows. Definitely disappointing at the end. But I think, you know, learned a lot about just the level of what it is. And you know, it's still baseball, really. But you have those moments in a year where injury happens and other situations come up. And you got to try to do your best as a team to get through them. I thought we did an awesome job, you know, to be where we were at the end. I know it was disappointing, but excited for this year.
I know you spent a lot of time in the Rays organization as a manager for several of their minor league affiliates. We talked about that last season. But how gratifying was it for you personally just to get up to the big leagues and put in a full season as third base coach?
Yeah, that was always the goal. I mean, even as a young coach, was to try to get here. As a player, I was. And to reach it last year was, I mean, I still remember the first game, you know, have goosebumps and, you know, the excitement of your first game. And then, like I said, the start we had, man, what a start, you know. It was a lot of growth last year. And like I said, I'm excited for this year. The youth is under us for the most part. Me personally and our team, a lot of guys came up and helped contribute. So they have a year under their belt, and hopefully the second year is better for them.
I know that you managed a lot of these guys in the minors, and some of these guys you haven't coached quite yet, at least during the regular season. But looking around, there's a lot of fast players, right? And I know you guys are one of the better teams in Major League Baseball at going from second to home. So that must make your job a little bit easier, I would imagine.
That's their job, right? Is to make my job hard, actually. I mean, and by them running hard makes my job harder. If they don't run hard, it's easy for me. Just, you got to stop at third base. So, you know, make my decision difficult. We did a nice job last year, I thought, of running the bases. First to thirds, second to homes, first to home, and with even some more speed this year, I believe, you know, we're going to maybe push the envelope a little more, but not be stupid on the bases. You know, make good decisions.
Yeah, what did you learn last year? I mean, what were the big takeaways for you?
Information, really. I mean, there's just so much information. You know, me coaching third in the minors, you don't really know the specifics of outfielders. You know your team, right? You know your speed on your team. But just all the video and understanding just reads from me, it made a lot easier, honestly, to where I knew before the game started what I could and couldn't do with guys at second base. So that was one of the big takeaways for me.
I asked Kyle Snyder this last week before our Countdown to Opening Day show. How much has the game changed for you? I asked him, how much has the game changed since he joined the Rays as pitching coach, what, 7-8 seasons ago now? I first got to know you when you were manager of the Montgomery Biscuits around that same time in 2015. How much has the game changed in your mind since then?
It's continuing to change. You know, constantly. You're constantly adapting as a coach to try to fulfill the needs of a player, right? I mean, you know, between spin rate, you know, so you're training differently in the cage. You know, ground ball wise, the technology's come around where machines now are being used more prevalently. Where, you know, 10 years ago it was pretty much just a fungo. And I think it's good because you get up to speed quicker, you get more reps. Proper technique is easier change now because of the reps you can do. And like I said, it's all about adapting to the player and what their needs are.
I saw you working on the backfields the other day doing some infield drills, and Rays manager Kevin Cash said he's never really seen anybody do it the way that you did, where you're actually timing how quickly these guys can glove, throw to second, turn two, but you start them out slower, then you move faster, then you want them to find that sweet spot. So can you tell our listeners what that's all about?
Like I said, it's about, you know, technique. You want to make sure that the technique is down, fundamentally sound, before you start doing anything quick. But then you can work on repetition. I mean, if you can get 100 to 200 reps of ground balls where it's non-taxing on your body, I mean, that's only going to help you exponentially on the field. You know, because it's hard to take 200 ground balls. I mean, you're gonna be out of gas. You're gonna be fatigued. And talking with Cashin, in general, we want guys to be ready at 6:35 or 7 whenever that game starts. So being, you know, fundamentally sound, working on your reps, making sure you're consistent in what you're doing to allow for a better product on the field.
I think my memory is still in there enough where you did some of that stuff on the minors, though, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we did. On the clock stuff, I've been doing that since A-ball. I mean, it's just it's a way to train. It's a way to teach. The player teaches themselves without you telling them something, because the game is a clock, really. From the time the batter hits the ball to the time the batter runner touches first, it's usually between 4 seconds and 5 seconds. And so you've got to train those speeds so that you can convert those outs in the game.
And now, just before spring training, your father Jimmy passed away. And we're really sorry to hear that. We know he was a great guy. I remember when he would come to the games and he would listen to the games that I would call when we were both in AA Montgomery together. What did you learn from your dad? Such an illustrious career. It's probably hard to pick one thing, but for you, being around the game as often as you were, what did he teach you?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I mean, it was tough at the end, obviously, but you know, the bright spot about it all was the amount of people that reached out and just kind of told stories that you said, you know, like something that he did or said. I remember times where he was telling me to tell you, hey, tell him this. I listened last night, and it was to help you. He was always a helper, right? He just wanted to help people in the game, whether it was on the field or off the field. You didn't realize how much he impacted many people in the game. Just the love and support that I received from players that I hadn't even really talked to, and just told stories about, you know, what he meant to them in the game. And that was really, really neat to hear.
And how invaluable a resource was he when you were coming up through the minors as a manager?
Tremendous, you know. It's tough. We played three games here, and I want to call him.
Yeah.
But it's weird, you know. Just to go over the bright spots or low spots of the game, maybe a situation that happened in the game that he said or he saw he wanted to talk about. But just he was a sounding board for many people, including myself.
Well, last question before I get you out of here, Brady. You and I were talking on the backfields the other day also about how there are a lot of uncertainties, as there always are entering any season, but there are some teams like the San Diego Padres, they come to mind from last season, they were just loaded with talent, they did not live up to those expectations. I think a lot of people are probably counting the Rays out again, which is kind of a fool's errand, right, considering what they've done the last five seasons, making the playoffs. But you told me that maybe the uncertainty and the unknown is a better place to be than having these expectations that are way too high that you might not fulfill.
Yeah, it can be, and I feel just the teams I've managed over the years, you know, the 13 years that I've managed, those were the best years. Is when you go into a season and you think you have a good team, you have talent, but you don't really know how good you're going to be. And through that that's when you work the hardest, right? That's when you pay attention to detail the most, where little things are going to matter. Even though you do, as if you have a good team, it's those teams that you kind of not quite sure. And before you know it, you're playing for a championship. And guys come together that way. Just the team unites because maybe they think they're not that good. So like that extra work, that extra how you doing goes a long way. And I think that's the kind of team we have.
And bonus question for you. Do you have any personal goals for 2024?
World Series. I mean, that's a lot of our mindset. I think, you know, I feel like we've bred that. In our system, coming up is where winning is the only thing, and you do what's necessary to do that. If you're not doing your part, you're going to work harder, and I think that's the goal for all of us is to not just to get there, is to win it.
Well, Brady, we so appreciate the time. We're so sorry to hear about your dad, but we know he's looking down and he's really proud of you.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
That was Rays third base coach Brady Williams. We'll be back to wrap it up here on Countdown to Opening Day right after this on the Rays Baseball Network. And welcome back to Countdown to Opening Day. Rays and Red Sox almost ready to go here at Charlotte Sports Park at the top of the hour. Andy and Neil will have all that coverage for you. But we do want to thank Josh Lowe and Brady Williams for their time today on Countdown to Opening Day. That is going to do it for us, though. But special thanks to Jason Behringer back at our network studios, as well as Mark Hayes and Jared Greenspan for on-site assistance, plus additional help from Andy Freed, Neil Solons, Chris Miller, and Becca Carney. I'm Chris Adams-Wall, and thanks so much for tuning in. We will see you next time, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Countdown to Opening Day.
As this ball is blasted to straightaway center, this ball is long gone.
If you missed any of the show, download it at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
Speaking of the Jungle Cruise, that one is into the jungle, well into it for Randy Arozarena's 19th home run of the season.
Opening day will be here before you know it.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out, and the Rays win.
For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.